There he is.
Hey, girl, I really want to be with you. Will you go downtown with a boy like me? Hey, girl,
I really want to be with you.
Because that's my type. Ooh, nah, 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 nah.
Hey, nah, nah. What's your name? Is that that song? Oh, nah, yeah. Nah. What's my name?
Yeah.
Classic Rihanna.
That is classic Rihanna, man.
That's oh, nah, nah. What's my name? She's so beautiful, huh?
Rihanna. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Big Riri, little Riri, it don't matter. I just love me some Riri.
Oh, yeah, you liked Riri. We both, I remember, had a DM moment when Riri, what's the right way to say it?
Got thick?
Got T-H-I-C-C.
When she went ahead and got thick with it?
Yeah. Yeah, and I was feeling it. And Donald was like, now you know what I've been saying.
You know how I feel about thick women.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice color on you. What do you call that? Salmon?
I like to think of it as red, but just washed a little bit too much.
Joelle, don't you call that salmon?
I do believe that is a salmon, Zach.
Yeah. Salmon's a nice color with your skin tone.
You know it's a really nice color with my skin tone?
What?
These nuts! Let's get into the show.
What the hell?
Do you want to, I texted you if you want to go to dinner tonight with me.
That would be fun. I just gotta ask my daughter if she's down to.
You don't ever ask this daughter to do anything around the fucking house. She's 20. Is she 21 years old?
Yeah.
And she lives rent free, and she fucking leaves dishes in the sink. And y'all never say anything like, "Hey, can you watch the kids while we go to dinner?" And I'm tired of it.
It's not that we still feel like she has to be asked.
No, she has to be told.
Oh no,
that's her rent. That's her rent money.
Shit. Damn. Yo, so much has happened. So much has happened this week.
Go on.
Since we spoke, Joelle went ahead and hooked up the Oculus.
Yes.
And was playing it. And I got jealous.
Yeah.
Because I heard that there was a Star Wars game on Oculus that I just had to play.
Right.
So I went out and got me an Oculus Quest 2.
Yes.
And then I learned that the game that I wanted to play on the Oculus Quest 2 doesn't come with the Oculus Quest 2. You need a PC.
Mm-hmm. This is the most classic Donald story ever. Donald finds a hobby and then gets into it and then has to buy every single thing you could ever need for the hobby. You bought a flight chair, didn't you?
I did buy a flight chair.
Stop it!
He's so stupid.
Oh, my God.
Is it in the house?
Not yet. It's not here
you
yet.
You should start doing the podcast from the flight chair, please.
Yo.
That might be the maneuver. With the from the flight chair with the goggles on, playing the game.
Mm.
I really feel like we should get a 4-link going, get on this game, pilot around a little bit, and do the podcast from the
But I'm
Oculus.
Saying, can't we? We should do an episode of the podcast where we're all with our goggles on in a virtual room together talking. I think that would be fun.
Whoa.
We can do that.
We can?
Are there hangout rooms, Daniel?
Yes. Big screen is great for this.
And my avatar can show up in this?
Yep.
And I'll be able to touch him? Will I feel him?
You won't feel me.
You know. The haptics are okay. They're not
That's the next step when
dude,
I can feel him.
We could totally do virtual sex, dude.
I think our women would be okay if we just grope each other in virtual space, right?
I don't think it's cheating if I penetrate you in virtual space.
Whoa, Joelle, you're the expert on this. If Donald, that must have been my dream last night. If Donald virtually penetrates me, is it cheating?
Is it cheating? Depends on the boundaries you've set with your partner. I feel like I could totally see some people being like, no, even virtually, I don't want you having relationships. I feel other people would be like, thank God.
No. We didn't say relationship.
That's too far. If you penetrate someone you're in, you have some form of relationship. Maybe you guys are not boyfriend, girlfriend.
We are having relationships. We might have relationships. Guns, but ain't
don't
no
they have in all seriousness, don't they have like virtual not virtual but things that connect to your computer that simulate the female anatomy?
Oh, I don't know.
There are
I
think sex they do. Toys with apps that no, allow you to do
I
those
think
things.
There are things, you guys, that contract and
this
simulate the female anatomy and then you go in the app and in the virtual world and you're and you feel it.
It does not surprise
me. If this does exist. If this
is that inappropriate to give to you guys as a present?
I was about to say, if this does exist, Christmas is coming.
Oh, no.
If it does exist.
By the way, Donald, because he's outfitting a whole room with virtual gear, this is probably already in the mail. But if it's not, I'm going to buy it for you today as your Christmas present.
This would make my Christmas. It would make my wife's Christmas, too. She'd
yeah,
be like,
because she'd be like, go. Yeah, she, yeah, see, Casey would be like, listen. Leave me the fuck alone. Go bang a virtual girl.
Right. Go right.
Or Zach.
All of a sudden, Donald sliding into my DMs like, yo, you want to meet up in virtual world? Wow.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, chill, bro. Broke back virtual.
Oh, my God.
Do your avatars look like you in the virtual sex world?
Yeah, we get up in the virtual world. We're in like a tent. Yeah. We're in a tent, and we're fucking, we have cattle to deal with and shit.
Right. And, and fire. We go virtual hunting together. and then we virtual fuck, and then I'm like, why can't I quit you?
Yeah. Oh, my God. By the way, if you're a game producer out there looking for content, I think Virtual Brokeback is a good fucking game. Especially if they have this fake majiggy, which I'm going to look up. Somebody should be Googling that. Joelle, please. Guys, welcome to the program.
Spare her.
Welcome. Joelle's afraid to Google it because she doesn't want that shit coming up on her. Do you ever Google something embarrassing and then you're on all those other pages and the ad starts coming up on other pages? It's horrible.
No, but yes. I've never done that, but I was once on Pornhub like the night before and I didn't, you know, cancel out on the Pornhub thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And somebody was like, yo, such and such did such and such. I was like, hell no, man. That didn't happen. Watch. Let me Google it.
Yeah.
And I opened up my phone and it was on Pornhub.
And some dirty shit.
And I was like, and I looked at the person and the person looked at me. And then there was like that understanding like, oh, you Pornhub too.
Yeah,
you want to see, listen, now this conversation might not make it. You ever want to see somebody, see if people watch porn in a, when the world opens back up and we are in a crowded space again, all you have to do is this. Brazzers. Somebody looks up. I guarantee you somebody will look up like, what? And then you guys will have a moment of laughing.
I'm guessing that's the brand of porn you like the most, Donald.
No, but that's the easy. Like, look, there were these whole challenges that were up on Instagram where, you know, young kids had drum sets. And they would do drum beat that comes with Pornhub. You know when Pornhub starts, doom, doom, and it does the beat, whatever the beat is? Kids were doing that in front of their dads, like, yo, dad, check out this beat I learned. And they did the beat, and then the dad's reaction would be like, yeah. And then the dad and the son would have the moment like, oh, shit, you. You did it.
I never saw that. By the way, welcome everybody to the program. We're very excited to have you. We have Tara Reid on today, don't we, guys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shall we bring her in?
Yes.
Let's do it.
When she gets here.
Oh, she's not here yet. Oh, she's fashionably late.
Mm.
You know, a lot of star types can be fashionably late, Donald. Maybe Tara Reid is fashionably late.
They like to be a little late. They like to make us wait.
She looks great in this episode, by the way. She looks so beautiful. And I had this episode has a lot of funny stuff in it, a lot of classics.
A lot of classics in this episode.
So, while we wait for Tara, do you want to get into your recap?
Yeah, but before we do that, let's get into the 5, 6, 7, 8
stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should.
All right, let's see. I'm gonna put my timer on. You ready?
Yep.
On your marks, get set, go.
Dr. Cox is feeling his new position at work, and he knows if he gets JD and him on the same page, the rest of the team will fall in line. JD's still so in love with Elliot and can't recognize the hot new girl in the hospital, played by Tara Reid, who has a bit of a crush on him. Carla's brother Marco, played by Freddie Rodriguez, is in town. Carla's so happy, but her brother and Turk don't get along. Turk learns Marco has a secret and can't wait for Carla to find out. We're all caught off guard when something unexpected happens. Most people fear the unexpected because it can throw a monkey wrench in your shit and turn your world upside down. I feel like we're most powerful when we embrace the unexpected. Although it can be scary, it's usually the beginning of a new adventure.
Well said. The unexpected is scary, Donald.
It's one of the most scariest things that
we get into comfort zones, and we like the way we feel in our comfort zone. And then no matter what it is, whether it's a new relationship or a new job or a baby or anything, it puts us in an uncomfortable place and we don't like it. And we want to crawl back into our proverbial fetal position.
Yeah, but you're more powerful when you can roll with the unexpected. A change happens and you have the ability to adapt.
And you run towards it. You manifest excitement about it.
Right. That makes you way more powerful than being afraid of, you know, the inevitable.
Yes, which is something new is going to happen. I think Elliot is so friggin' insensitive in this episode. She is teasing him left and right. She is not empathetic at all.
I truly don't think she knows how he feels anymore.
Come on, buddy. She knows. She's cuddling up to him. I don't know. It just made me mad at her. I was like, I felt bad for JD because he's so has feelings for her. And she's so oblivious. But I don't think she's, I don't know. I just, what woman would be that oblivious? She's just like cuddling up to him and licking his face, and there's no other room in another bed. Let me spoon you. Oh, it's Sean. Oh, can I cut you out of a picture for Sean? Like, I don't know. I just thought she was insensitive.
Yeah, but she might have been insensitive, but that scene with Rob on the mat on the top bunk.
Oh my God. It's one of the greatest scenes. I've often said that's one of my is she here, Daniel?
Yes.
All right, let's invite the Tara Reid in.
Here she comes.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yay!
Ladies and gentlemen, Tara Reid!
Tara
Reid! Hi.
Hello, Tara.
How are you?
Hi.
What's up, yo?
Woohoo!
Hi, Donna.
Hi, girl. How you doing? A lot of you don't know this, but Tara Reid and I went to high school together, and we were high school buddies.
Oh, at the performing arts school.
No, it wasn't the performing arts school. It was the professional children's school. It's a big difference. There's a difference between the performing arts school, which is the FAME school.
Right. You guys didn't dance on cabs.
No, we did not. We had.
No, but he used to sing and do hip-hop on the church stairs right next to him.
Tara, we're so happy you're here. We're very excited because I didn't realize how many episodes you did. You did a whole bunch of episodes. And
I swear, we almost wore the same outfit. I was going to wear my black Adidas jumpsuit.
Oh, really? That would have been even doper.
Yeah.
But Tara, you did a bunch of episodes, and I think it's because you were so fun. I mean, that's a good sign, because when you do that many episodes, it means Bill obviously thought you were hilarious and kept having more and more for you to do. But this was your first one, and so I'm so glad you're here to come on, and I'm so glad you said yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love you guys, and when I found out it was you, and Donald's nickname, by the way, is Shun. I don't know if you guys know that.
He knows. We talked about that. Tara, what was Donald like in high school? Because I didn't know that you guys went to school together, and I just can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine, but tell us.
Donald was, we had so much fun in high school. He actually was one of the only people that went to my house in New Jersey.
I was one of the only people that went to your house in New Jersey. And I
remember how did that come about? Wait, how did that come about?
So I had already been at the school for like a year or two. I think it might've been my sophomore or my junior year. Tara was a freshman and she came in. And I remember the first day Tara came in and she dressed like she was from Jersey. You know what I mean? Like she had.
Wait, how did it feel from Jersey dress? What the hell does that mean? As a fellow Jersey guy.
I had curly permed hair.
Her hair was high. So cheesy. She had the biggest hair you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. That kind of Jersey.
We're all from Manhattan. I was just like, who is that girl right there? You know and so Tara and I actually, we hung out. I think she stayed at the school. You stayed at the school for a year.
Yeah, I think, was it a year or 2 years?
A year or two. But we hung out for the whole time that she was there. And then she moved to Los Angeles. And I remember hanging out with, like, I think Kev Jordan and my friend Brad Kane. These are guys that all were in the industry or are in the industry right now. We went and saw The Big Lebowski, not knowing that Tara was in it.
Oh, my God.
And, she showed up on screen and I was like, yo, get the fuck out of here. Holy shit, Tara made it. You know what I mean? She was the first person out of all of us. Like, none of us were really working at the time. Like, myself, Dash Myhawk, Tara. Do you remember
Tara,
Dash?
Was that, sorry to pause, Donald. Tara, was Big Lebowski your big break? Was that your first big part?
For sure. I mean, my first movie was based on a Stephen King movie. And I was 7 years old in that one. But then I did some TV stuff. But the first real break was The Big Lebowski. And that's what broke me out to get everything else. But The Big Lebowski, the audition for that, I remember the final audition. And I see, I'm sitting in the waiting room. And I see Charlize Theron come in. And I see Liv Tyler come in. And I'm like, there's no way I'm getting this part. There's even a chance. And then all of a sudden, like 3 days later, they're like, you got the part. And I was like, are you kidding me? And
oh, so my that's God. What happened. Yeah. It's such an iconic part. I mean, that is so many people I know's favorite movie. And, like, I mean, it's just such – what a cool film to have been a part of and to have been such a, like, a important character in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, definitely when we were shooting it, you knew it was special because all the actors that were in it. And, you know, it was just great. But no one knew it was going to be such a cult film. You know, it really became a cult film.
You've been in a bunch of cult classics now.
Right.
You know, your cult classic status is like on another level. You've been in many movies that people are like, yo, you seen this? And people be like, no, I haven't seen it. They'll be like, yo, you've got to see this movie.
Yeah, well, American Pie was, of course, one of them.
Cult classic.
Cult classic.
Freaking Big Lebowski, cult classic.
Pussy and the Cat.
Josie and the Pussycat. Cult classic.
And you were in it. You were in it.
I am in that. Deborah Kaplan and Harry Alfont directed Can't Hardly Wait, and they also directed Josie and the Pussycats.
Right.
And I was in both of those.
Yes.
Small roles, cameo roles, but Tara was in that cult classic. And then she did another movie called Sharknado, which went on to be one of the biggest cult classics in the history of cult classics.
God, Tara, people love these movies. You guys have made so many of them, huh?
Yeah, I mean, when we first got the movie, it was called Dark Skies. And we're like, okay, we can deal with that because we knew it was so cheesy. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just take the money and run on this one. No one's ever going to see it.
Right.
That's what I thought. Then, like, the second day of shooting, all of a sudden they say, Tara, we're naming the movie to Sharknado. I'm like, no, you can't do that. It's going to ruin everything for me. It's the worst thing ever. I'm on the phone with my agent going, they can't change the name to Sharknado. It's going to be the worst. I was, like, crying. And then... all of a sudden, I'm in Mexico on vacation and never, I didn't even know we did no press for it. I didn't even know it was coming out. And my phone keeps ringing and ringing and ringing. And they're calling me and they're going, you won't believe what happened. I'm like, what happened? I think something happened to my family because everyone's calling. And then they're like, Sharknado is number one. It's trending completely. We're getting a million tweets per minute. I was like, you're joking me. And then I get on the airplane to come home, and the stewardess comes up to me. He's like, I love your movie. So, of course, I think, you know, American Pie. And then he goes, Sharknado. And I was like, are you joking me? This is crazy.
It's so funny. People love it. I think people just love camp and horror. I mean, it has everything. It's like so many things that people love all combined into one thing.
But this totally goes with our theme. We were talking about the unexpected today and how the unexpected can be very fearful. But I feel like you're a hero and you have more power when you embrace the unexpected and you charge towards it, as Zach said earlier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sharknado is one of those moments where you're like, I'm just going to take the money and run. And then unexpectedly, you picked something that turned out to be one of the biggest hits of the year, of the decade. You know what I mean? And so...
so do they just keep getting more and more outrageous, Tara? Because I've only seen Sharknado.
Dude, I saw one. He rides a fucking shark with a chainsaw in his hand, and he rides it like it's a bucking bronco, and he's slicing sharks as he's falling to the ground from like a giant skyscraper. He rides a shark down and then lands on the ground afterwards, Ian Ziering.
God, you guys must be laughing so hard.
It was amazing because then I became like, I was human in the beginning, but then I became I was missing and they couldn't find me because I lost my arms and all this stuff. And then I become like the bionic woman. So all of me is like fake. I'm like a robot. You know, I mean, and so I could fly. I could do all these crazy things that you would never imagine. And I could run faster than speeding light. I mean, it's just, it's outrageous. And then I kill these sharks. And then when Ian asked me to marry him, I'm like on the Eiffel Tower. We really shot this. She knew you would love this. There's one scene in the movie where we're in New York City, which was the coolest thing to shoot in New York City. Right. And there's this fire truck. And so Ian gets on this fire truck with his saw. He's like, we're in New York City. Let's go. People, we love it. Da-da-da-da, you know. And then the regular people that were coming by, not extras or anything, they're like, yeah, New York, we stick together. Like, it was the craziest thing you've ever seen.
I believe it. I believe. Yo, I remember three things in my life that are very important in my life, and you're part of two of them.
Right, before you go into this, because this is going to be juicy, that's a tease for the audience. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the Tara Reid.
And we're back!
And we're back!
But two things in my life that are really big moments in my life and important moments in my life, and Tara's a part of them. My first time ever falling asleep on set was on the Clueless set, right? Mm-hmm. Fell asleep. And we were doing the party scene.
The TV show or the movie?
The movie. Mm-hmm. And to fall asleep on a set, you got to be really brave.
But baby, I wasn't in Clueless.
I know you weren't in Clueless, but you showed up at the party scene.
Yes.
You remember?
Yes. You showed up at the house in the valley. Yeah. Right,
so I'm sleeping on a freaking, like a chair, and we're shooting the movie, and somebody's like, Shun, wake up. And I open my eyes, and Tara standing in front of me, standing over me. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here? And she's like, hey. And I was like, holy shit. Right. And it was a big moment for me because you got to have trust to fall asleep on a set, first of all, because people will fuck with you. One. Two, it was a big moment because it was my big break and it was a huge movie. And I knew at this point, I didn't know it was going to be huge, but I knew that I was in Los Angeles and I made it. And my one friend that had made it in Los Angeles is waking me up on set. And I was like, holy shit, this is serendipitous. This has to be fate.
And she's gonna give me some of that Big Lebowski juice.
Right, some of that spark.
Can I tell him the story about being in your apartment when with the gun shooting?
Oh God.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So I go over to meet like Donald and we go to his house and it's just me and him are hanging out.
No, it's more than just me and you. It's me, you, and some of the cast from the Mickey Mouse Club. Like, I don't know how it turned out to be this. We were hanging out with, like, Chase Hampton and Damon from the Mickey Mouse Club. And it was those two and a couple of other people. And we're at my house in Hollywood. I had just moved to Los Angeles.
It was, all famous actors at the time.
Right. I just moved to Los Angeles.
Right. Let her tell the story. Don't hijack it. All right. Okay. Go ahead, Tara.
So we go to his house and we're hanging out and we're all having fun. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, bop, 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 in front of his house. And Donna's like, duck! We're all laying on the ground. Like it was the scariest thing I've ever seen. And all of a sudden, he knew what to do. He's like, duck, lay on the ground. And then all of a sudden, after the shots, he's crawling like towards the window to peek through. Because we didn't know. It was right in front of his building. So we're peeking through if they're gone or not. You know, and we after that, we laid on the floor. And all of us laughed so hard because we couldn't believe what just happened. It was so crazy.
And that you were still alive.
Yeah. All right. She you left a couple of parts out, Tara. So we're hanging out and somebody goes, yo, this is a really dangerous neighborhood. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. This is not a dangerous neighborhood. I'm from a dangerous neighborhood. This isn't a dangerous neighborhood.
I'm from Hell's Kitchen.
I'm from Hell's Kitchen. Blah, 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 blah. Everybody get down. So we get on the ground. And now I'm on the ground and I'm looking at Tara and Tara's bawling, crying. And I'm like, oh God, oh God, oh God. I brought Tara Reid over to my house. She's probably got shot or some shit like that. She's going to die. And everything calms down. We all get up and we're looking around. And I'm like, yo, that was the funniest shit ever. I just said that this wasn't a scary neighborhood, that this was Hell's Kitchen. And out of nowhere, and then right as I said out of nowhere, once again, retaliation comes.
Oh, really? There was more?
Oh, it was crazy.
So we jumped to the ground again. right? And now I'm laughing. I'm laughing so hard.
And we all are.
Right. I'm stoned out of my mind. And oh my I'm freaking God. Laughing at gunshots outside my window, dude.
My God.
Yeah, laughing so hard. This story doesn't have a climactic ending other than the fact that we survived.
It does. The climactic ending is that you survived a drive-by and you didn't get Tara Reid killed.
Right, and I didn't. Thank God I didn't get Tara Reid killed.
Wasn't there a story you told me once, Donald, where you you went over Tara's house and had
moonshine for the first time in my life?
What's that story?
So we were in high school, and it was Tara's. Tara was 16. It was her sweet 16, and I guess I was a senior. And she's like, "Yo, come to my house in Jersey. I'm throwing a party, and all my friends from Jersey are going to be there." And like I said, Tara and I were close in high school. So there was like me, her, and then
and your cousin.
It was Jamal. It wasn't Terrence Howard. It was Jamal. And my buddy Jamal and one other person, we go over to Tara's house. And so we get there and Tara's like, "Dude, you're not going to believe this, but I got a keg." And I was like, "You got a fucking keg?" She was like, "I got a keg." And I was like, "All right, cool."
Feels like it's just like the classic Jersey. I grew up in Jersey too, obviously. It's like remember in Teen Wolf when he goes through all the trouble to get the keg?
And then he
puts it in the room and there's all those kegs. Keg stands,
so
the whole thing.
I get there and I'm like, "Holy shit, she got a keg," right? She taps the keg and we're all drinking it, right? We're all drinking. And she goes, "Yo, you want to try something different?" And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, "Oh God, this is where it all goes bad." She goes, "You want to try to drink something different?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." She goes, "Come with me." She takes me in the kitchen, and in the kitchen, there's this big vat. And she's like, "It's moonshine." And I was like, "What?" She's like, "It's moonshine. My dad made this." And I was like, "Get the fuck out of here." And she was like, "Yeah." And so I look at it, and it's like clear with like celery, it looked like floating. I was like, okay, I'll try it. And I try it. And I sip it, and I'm gonna tell you something right now. After I sipped it, I don't remember much of what happened the rest of the time. I remember Tara showing us. I remember you doing your high school cheerleading stuff in front of all of us to show us that. I remember that. I remember falling asleep on the floor, and waking up the next morning and taking the bus or the train, one of those things, back to Manhattan. It was my first time and my only time ever trying
moonshine. First and only time trying moonshine?
Yeah.
It scared him too much.
All I know is I don't remember much. I just remember falling asleep on the floor. It's like those things, it's like when you watch movies and it's like, you know, it shows you moments in a person's life as they're watching it flash before their eyes and it blacks out and then it comes back and it's something different and then it blacks out and then it comes back and it's something different. I have two memories. One of them is Tara Reid going like, "Rah, rah, bish, boom, bah." and then the other one is passing out on the floor, looking over and seeing everybody on the floor knocked out and then just passing out.
Yeah, this is called a young teenage boy tries moonshine for the first time.
Great night. It was one of my most memorable moments. Tara Reid has a few of them.
Yeah. And we used to hang out with Tara in when I started my career going and was going out with you, Don. We'd run into her out and about in Hollywood.
Dude, we spent a week together in St. Bart's, dude. What are you talking about?
That's right. We had adventures in St. Bart's.
Tara's been a part of this clique for a minute.
Yeah, I remember. She's the first guest, by the way. Tara, you're the very first guest who's ever come on and called him Shun. So that's how far back you guys go.
Wait, how about when I saw you, Zach, in Israel, and you happened to be sitting next to me? Remember in Tel Aviv? Remember?
Remind me the story. No, remind me.
So we're in Tel Aviv in Israel at this club, and I'm sitting at this table with a bunch of the soccer players there. And my boyfriend at the time was an Infected Mushroom, the singer. And so I'm there. And you sat at the table next to me. And all of a sudden, you look at me and you go, "Tara?" And I go, "Zach?" And we were like, he's like, "What are you doing here?" And then I say to him, I'm like, "What are you doing here?" And it was the most random, like, out of anywhere to run into him.
I remember thinking, Tara's so connected. I go to one club in Tel Aviv, and here she is at the party right next to me.
Dude, that's how it was in St. Bart's. When we went to St. Bart's, we were like, "Holy shit, Tara!"
Tara, you, I have a memory. You told me this story where you—I don't know if it's true or not. It must be true, but you told me that you were once driving down the 10 freeway, and you were driving in a Porsche, and you get pulled over, and the cops recognizes you, and he's like, you know how fast you were going? You're like, oh, sorry if I was going a little fast. And he goes, do you ever get this car like this going really, really fast? And you're like, no. And he's like, follow me. And he threw on the lights and told you to follow him.
That is absolutely a true story. That is absolutely true.
That would only happen to you.
And we went so fast. It was great. He was going in and out of lanes. I was just going right with them. And it wound up going because I was picking someone up from the airport. So he took me all the way to the airport.
Oh, my God. That never happens to us, Donald.
No, I don't get that treatment.
You got to be Tara Reid to get that treatment.
You got
to
be Tara Reid.
All right, should we get into the episode, guys? Let's talk about this episode, right?
Let's get into it.
So this episode starts with a joke that so many people love from Scrubs, the silverware in the pancake drawer bit.
Yeah, why is there pancakes in the silverware drawer?
Why is there silverware in the pancake drawer?
And then you're like, I always love when the cousin comes because she cleans the house all the time.
when her brother comes.
Yeah. That was such a stupid joke about the pancake drawer, and then people loved it. Like it's something people quote to us all the time.
Yeah, and they quote it wrong too. Some people are like, why is there pancake in the cutlery drawer?
Well, that might be the translation on the subtitles or something.
That doesn't make the joke funny when it's the joke.
Now, Freddie Rodriguez plays Carla's brother.
Yeah. Carla's brother, Marco. Now,
he did a bunch of episodes too. This episode introduces two guest stars, Tara and Freddie, that ended up doing a whole bunch of episodes.
Yeah, Danny and Marco, both. Wow, yeah, a lot of episodes. I've noticed this trend, but I'm sure people who are watching with us and listening to the podcast, what's up with all of the boy names for girls? There's Danny. Right. There's Danny. There's Jordan.
I'm Danny.
There's Elliot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe Bill.
Carla has the only girl name.
I happen to like boy names on girls. I think it's cute.
I like it too.
Maybe Bill has that too.
My daughter's name is Wilder. My daughter's name is Wilder. That's a boy's name. So
is it a boy's
name? Do you name her after Van Wilder? I'm kidding.
No, I didn't.
No, right, tell him the story.
That's another movie. Ryan Reynolds, Tara Reid, Van Wilder.
Right.
Old classic.
By the way, tell him how you named your daughter and out of a misunderstanding.
For those of you who haven't seen Kick-Ass 2, now's your chance to go see it. Zach Braff and the rest of America and the rest of the world.
I've never seen Kick-Ass 1 or 2.
If you get the chance, you should check them out. Okay. You might laugh a little. They're funny. They're gory superhero movies that you might like. Anyway, my point is,
the guy who's the star.
The star of the movie is Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's married to Sam Taylor Johnson. And they have kids together. And one of their kids' name is Wilder. And I was like, I love that name. I'm getting married. And if I ever have another kid, I'm going to name that kid Wilder. And I'm thinking they're saying Wilder because they both have British accents and stuff. Oh, yeah, Wilder. The baby's born. We name her Wilder. I'm like, I've run into them out at like a Oscar party. And I'm like, yo, dude, we did it. I named my daughter Wilder after your daughter. And
they're like, you named her what now?
He goes, what? I go, I named her Wilder. He goes, no. My kid's name is Wilder.
Like, how do you spell that? How do you spell his kid's name? Like Y-L-D-A?
I think it's something like D-A. Something like that.
What? W-Y-L-D-A.
Something like that.
But you thought it was W-I-L-D-A. I love how you're like, I did it. I really did it. I named it after your kid.
But I ran up one. I'm like, I told you I'd do it, man. I love that little girl. And he's like, no, you got the name wrong. And I was like, oh, you know what? And so I named my kid Wilder Francis Faison. And Wilder is short for wild animal, right? Francis means free. So we named our daughter Wild and Free, pretty much.
That's cool.
And she is wild and free.
And she is wild and free. She's the one that called me a stupid ass motherfucker.
Yeah, that's true. She's a little too free. I have said many times, maybe a couple times on this podcast, one of the funniest times I ever laughed was Rob Mascio, High Five Todd, saying, Sometimes when I'm banging this mattress, I'm thinking about banging that one. I always think
And you're cuddling down and you're like all excited. And she's like, I just need space to sleep. And you're like dying. You're like, I just want to be with
you. I know. And it's, I was saying, Tara, before you got on, that she's so insensitive. Like she's the character is clearly not reading that I'm obsessed with her and still so in love. And she's like such a tease to me. She's like, oh, come on, cuddle up with me. I need someone to sleep with. Oh, wait, it's my boyfriend. Here, do you want to say hi? Like, she's so oblivious.
But or one of the best mean. One of the best scenes is she's like, do you still have those pictures? Like, when we were together? And you're in your head, you're like, from A to Z, I do. She's like, you know that one where I looked really hot and you looked whatever? And you go... Yeah. And then all of a sudden she's like, can I cut you out? And you're like,
it's so fucked up.
Yes, Starla.
Yep. But what
so, do you guys think that this is the question? I'm asking this, and everyone, I'm sure.
I agree with you already.
Everyone listening out there, you've probably been in a situation where you still had feelings for an ex, and you're trying to act normal, trying to act cool, trying to hold it together. Trying to act like you don't have feelings. And don't you think in this situation, you guys, that Elliot must know that JD is still harboring feelings and she's being fucking mean and insensitive and rude?
Yo, there's nothing like, I'm going to say this and I'm not a woman, so I can't. I'm going to let Joelle and Tara answer the question after I say this.
Yeah.
But I will say there's nothing like knowing someone has feelings for you. And you can hide behind the fact that you can act like you don't know. There's nothing like acting like you don't know someone has feelings for you when you know they do and watching them jump through hoops. I think some women get turned on or not turned on, but get excited by it. And I feel like Elliot's one of those people who's like, I know he likes me, but there's something really cool about torturing this boy.
Tara?
I'll let Tara go first. She's a guest.
I think that's really true because for a girl to do that, usually you hurt her somewhere along the line, you know? And so she's like, you know, it's game time. So she's now going to go to you and she's going to make you suffer because you made her suffer. So now she gets that confidence back and she moves on feeling great. And she leaves you back in the dirt and she's like, oh, I could do this again. And again, it's not that bad. You know, and another thing is they always say like, the only way to move on from a person is to find another person first. And I think that's what Elliot did in this case.
Yeah, you're right. She did. Joelle, what are your thoughts on this?
I think Tara summed it up really well. Everybody, you know, at some point in their life has had the position of a power play. And who doesn't love a power play? But I don't know if that's what Elliot's do. I feel like Elliot's character is really oblivious. Like, I don't know if she's actually out there to hurt.
Oh, come on. During that montage. Joelle, during the montage, she licks chocolate off my lips. And I then take my fingers and touch where she licked and kiss my fingers.
You can't do that. You can. And her boobs were all in your face at one point, which I was that stretch seems very obvious. So oh, maybe. My God.
What about when she's spanking me? I've got dirt. I get dirt on my butt. And she's trying to get the dirt off. And then it cuts to my face. And it looks like I'm like about to have an orgasm.
And then to end the montage, by the way, it's Todd humping the mattress above you. And you cuddling.
But Todd,
you grabbing Elliot in fear, holding her in fear like, oh, God.
No, but also I think JD's like, I've got the love of my life in my arms and she's sleeping. Todd, you're having a bad dream. You're going to wake her up. Stop fucking, you know, wake up so you don't wake Elliot up. And he's like, no, I'm awake. I'm just fucking this mattress.
So
oh,
funny.
My God. All right. We have a caller, right? We have a guest. Tara, every week we have somebody come on and ask a question and it's always interesting. And then we do a segment called Fix Their Life where we fix their life. So let's see how this goes. Joelle, who do we have today?
All right, let's let him in. This is sort of a gift for Donald.
Oh, God. Okay.
Gentlemen, give it up for Yusuf.
Hi, Yusuf. How are you? Welcome to the program.
I'm great. Thank you so much, Zach. Donald, thank you for that intro.
And this is the Tara Reid here as our guest on the show.
Hello.
Hi, Yusuf. How are you?
And that's Joelle and Daniel. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having
me. Now, Joelle implied that you're somehow a special guest for Donald, which really titillated me. I want to know why. What don't I know?
Do you want to tell them what you do?
Sure. Yeah. A few weeks ago, I think one of you insinuated that someone from Ubisoft listens to the podcast.
Yes.
And yeah, that is true. That is me. I work for Ubisoft.
Donald's going to just ask you video game questions now. What's your favorite?
No. Okay, so you work for Ubisoft. Go on.
What do you do for Ubisoft, Yusuf?
So I'm a news writer and on-camera host for Ubisoft.
Nice.
Okay, cool.
So I stream on Twitch. I host our sort of big industry showcase, multiple times a year. Nice. So yeah.
Donald, do you have a favorite Ubisoft game?
I'm sure I do. What games does Ubisoft make?
Ubisoft makes Assassin's Creed, Far Cry.
I do like Far Cry.
Any Tom Clancy game that you've played?
Nice. I've played the Far Cry a couple of times. There's a few of those Far Cries, aren't there? Was there a Far Cry where it's like you're medieval? Like, not medieval, where it's like it takes place in...
So there was a prehistoric Far Cry.
Yes, that was my favorite one.
Yeah, Far Cry Primal.
Yes, Primal. Yes, I had that one.
Yeah, and Far Cry 6 is coming out, and Giancarlo Esposito's in that one.
Does he play Darth Gideon?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Yusuf, I'm going to cut to the question Donald really wants to ask you. Do you guys make any Star Wars related games?
Unfortunately, we don't. That is a partnership with EA, so EA makes Star Wars games.
If and when you ever get that contract, let Donald know.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the only thing Donald really cares about in life is his kids, his wife, and Star Wars.
Yeah. I'm just going to put it out there. You don't have to do that, but if you ever want me to come down and check out what y'all do over at Ubisoft, I'll come down, I'll hang out. I might bring the microphone. We might do a little fake doctors, real friends in the headquarters of Ubisoft, as long as I get me some games. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Send him the motherload anyway. Send him the motherload anyway.
You don't have to send me don't send me the motherload. Send me everything.
Okay. I send the motherload and everything the same thing?
No. Everyone!
So wait, can I ask a question about Twitch for myself and for all the people listening who still fucking don't know what Twitch is? People play video games and they make commentary and then they somehow make money off of this. Can you explain it to me?
Yeah, I mean, so it's not too dissimilar from... The way I tend to describe it to people is that it is... If YouTube was live all of the time and... primarily focused on games. There are tons of other things on Twitch that are not game related. People have talk shows on there. People, just hang out. People carve, wood and things like that on there. But at the same time, it is focused almost entirely on live content.
And how do they make money? People tip them like a cam girl?
Yeah, you can get tips. People can subscribe to your channel. And if they subscribe, that's like a $5 a month subscription that they're signing up for. And they can view your channel ad free. They can support you that way. And then you can always tip the person you're watching if you like them or, you want to support them more.
Time out. What? Zach, what you know about cam girls?
You just glossed over
that really fast, like you weren't.
No, I can honestly say I don't watch camera girls, but I know what it is. I know it's a thing, and I know that you like the way that these women make money, women and men, is that people throw money at them, like by going on the interwebs and hitting.
I have an idea.
Go ahead.
And you tell me if you're all right with this.
What?
You and I should start an OnlyFans.
Yeah, but we're gonna have to show our peeps. And I don't want my peep next to your peep. It's going to look even smaller.
We could just show crack.
Oh, my God.
Oh, do you think we can make money on OnlyFans if we show coin slot, Joelle?
Could we make... I think we could play Balls or Shaft on OnlyFans.
Because what's her name? What's the name of that girl that got... We were talking about her. She got in trouble for doing OnlyFans.
Bella Thorne.
She got in trouble. She said we could do OnlyFans and didn't show anything naked. Joelle, how much can Donald and I make if we show crack?
Lord, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you can just play.
What about just ball?
One ball each. Joelle, can you Google how much we can make for one ball?
No.
You could just play, toe or thumb. That's
there you go.
People are into that.
Wholesome.
Daniel, you stream on Twitch, right?
I do. Yeah.
And do you make money doing it?
I make a little bit of money. I stream once a week. I'm not a full-time streamer. But, you know, yeah, I get probably like 20, 30 people in the chat and make, you know, 10, 15 bucks.
I know Sasha Gray does it. She does.
She's a very good streamer.
And what game does she, do you always play the same game?
You can play whatever. I mean, she does variety streams. She also cooks on stream.
Yeah,
she does
I've seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
And then Yousef, you just do only Ubisoft.
Yeah, just Ubisoft games. So, you know, we streamed like For Honor today. Mm-hmm. There's a new Watch Dogs coming out next week, so we'll be streaming
Watch Dogs Legion. Oh, Watch Dogs Legion, yeah.
Stoked for that.
All right, Yousef, you're a great guest so far. Do you have any Scrubs-related questions?
I do. I do. So the first question I have actually is related to, for me, Scrubs is a show that I think kind of makes me want to be a better person. I used to, in high school, I was a part of this. There was a Facebook group I was in called I Get All My Life Lessons from the Last 2 Minutes of Scrubs Episodes. and I think there are certain shows and movies out there that I think should almost be required viewing for people because they you know, encourage kindness. They encourage compassion. And Scrubs is obviously one of those for me. And actually, two of your other projects, Zach and Donald, are also way up there for me in Remember the Titans and Ted Lasso. And I was wondering, you know, what are your movies, TV shows, whatever that you think should be required viewing and make you want to be a better person?
Wow. You know, that's a great question. This is how I became an actor, you know what I mean? It was watching movies that moved me to want to do what I do now, you know what I mean? So when I was younger, The Princess Bride was one of those movies that I was like, if I can ever get on a level of comedy that these guys are doing right now, so I watched that a lot. I watched a lot of Rushmore. I watched, movies where the comedy was subtle and not necessarily. I remember one night Zach and I went out on our first like hangout thing. It was me, Zach, Sarah, and my manager at the time. And we're sitting at the table and Zach says, or maybe I said, well, what's your top five movies? And everybody said some like really dope shit. Like Zach said, Citizen Kane and like shit that I'd never heard
of. I hope I didn't say Citizen Kane. That's so pretentious. But if I did, I was young.
Yeah, you were young and you were freaking, you know, you were. You were a film student. And
I know, but what a douchebag. Like everyone's in their top five. Well, Citizen Kane, obviously. Like, I'm sorry.
and I remember naming my top five and everybody kind of looking at me like I was crazy. But these are the movies that made me. Not necessarily have a positive attitude about life, but made me want to be an actor. So like, you know, Goodfellas and, you know, Rushmore, The Empire Strikes Back, The Princess Bride, you know, movies like that for some reason fueled me into this. I can't really, I mean, I guess La La
Land. He's speaking a little bit, I mean, not to correct me if I'm wrong, Yousef, but like a movie or a TV show that made you like aspire to be a better person.
Oh, that's I mean.
Oh, but that's all of them. Do the Right Thing. Freaking, you know what I mean?
You know what movie came to
Boys in the Hood, Juice. You know, like all of the movies that were geared toward black youth and black people when I was a kid, that was what I was checking for. And in the 90s and in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, every movie that was a black movie had a message in it. And so for sure, after I walked out of freaking Boys in the Hood, I was like, I know what I'm not doing in life.
You know what I mean? Good. That's great filmmaking. It made such a difference for you. But a movie popped into my, you know, I probably could sit, Yousef, if I thought about it and ruminate on a lot, but one just popped into my head the second you finished your sentence, and it was American Beauty.
Mm. Oh, wow.
That was a movie that really moved me at a time when I needed it. And it kind of made me just really think about what kind of person I wanted to be. And, I don't know. It's always been a touchstone for me. It's a film that I really, really cherish a lot. How about you, Tara? Is there a movie that you saw that you were like, oh, that makes me want to be a better person, or a TV show?
I think it's going to sound so cliche, but I guess there's two. There's one called A Place in the Sun. It's a really old movie. Mm-hmm. And it's with Montgomery Clift and Elizabeth Taylor. Mm-hmm. And when you see them in it, you see like, from murder to scandal to love to how far people will go from that and how you correct it on the way. Because it goes, you could go from love to absolute craziness. You know, love is either one strong thing or it's another. And I think it taught me a lesson, like, you know, just like we had in the TV show, like, you can't be crazy. You can't be like a stalker. You got to be smooth. You got to be better. You got to be more secure. And I think, you know, and be a kinder person. So certain things, because it's a domino effect. If you hurt someone and you're in a bad mood and you go home and you have a friend there or your wife there or whatever, your roommate there, and you're now snapping at them, and they don't know why, and then they snap at someone else. And that kind of movie made me learn that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And, Yusuf, I'm so happy that we are associated with something that made you, that affected you like that. And I wish I could take more credit for Ted Lasso. By the way, a funny Ted Lasso story. I only directed episode 2 of Ted Lasso, but I'm getting all these compliments for it, which I happily take. And I'm on Twitter, and James Gunn says, "Hey, Zach Braff, loved your episode of Ted Lasso." And I'm like, "Oh, shit, thanks, man. That means so much to me coming from you." All of a sudden, and I'm getting all these likes, and everyone's being like, "Oh, Zach, you must feel..." All of a sudden, Bill Lawrence comes in, hijacks it, being like, "What about me? It's my show." And I'm like, "Are you really fucking in here hijacking my James Gunn compliment right now, motherfucker?"
That's so funny.
Yeah, I'm happy for Bill. Ted Lasso is just a massive hit. Everybody loves it, and I'm hopefully going to direct more in the second season, but that's great. Yeah. All right,
Yusuf. Can I just say, wait, before we move on, Zach, I just wanted to piggyback on what you said. American Beauty, yes, that was one of those movies for me as well. When I finished that shit had a lot of power behind it for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it did, but I just remember being, I went to see it with a bunch of friends. I was making Remember the Titans when that movie came out, as a matter of fact.
Oh, were you in that?
Yeah, I was. And we were making that movie, and I believe it was me, Ryan, Wood, and Ethan. We all went to see that together. And I remember walking out of the movie and everybody being like, "This is one of the dopest movies I've ever seen in my mm-hmm. life."
Yeah.
Yeah, American Beauty is one of those movies that I can't explain to you why I like that movie so much.
I think it made me just think, it's one of those films for me that makes you just zoom out. And it's not just like, "Oh, cool movie. What should we get for dinner?" It's like you really start thinking about your own life and your own place in the world. And there's so many little things in it that I remember when they're getting into a fight and he's about to spill beer on the couch. And she's like, "Careful, careful, your beer." And he's like, "It's a fucking couch." I think of that little moment so many times in my life where I'm sweating something so insignificant, and I'm all anxious about something that in the macro is so fucking ludicrous. And I always think of Spacey yelling, "It's a fucking couch."
Right.
Anyway, and of course the plastic bag thing was just
the plastic bag. Right. Beautiful. Go ahead, Tara.
I think one of another movie for me was, and it's a classic for everyone, was Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that really showed you so many characters that struggled from the beginning and became so strong, you know, at the end, and just so clever. And I you know, that movie really touched me, especially at the end when he finally gets through and on the beach. And
the power of friendship too. Very moving.
And when he played the music, when he locked in the the office, and all the people, like, it was like the most, it was like angels coming out of the sky. I'll never forget that.
That's one of those rare films that everybody loves. Universally. All right, Yusuf, you know, because you're here and you're a listener. We have a very America's favorite segment everywhere, not just America. From Shtad to Djibouti, people love
Djibouti.
This segment called Fix Your Life. You have the benefit of having Tara Reid here. She's going to give you great advice. Yusuf, how can we fix your life today?
Yes. So my brother and I don't get along very well at all. We are alike in every way we can't control, and then we are dislike in every way we can choose to be. And to the point where we haven't spoken since about May. And he, in many ways, I sort of just kind of decided to step away from a toxic situation with him because it's just been better for me and my mental health if I disassociate when he constantly sort of antagonizes me. And lately he'll sort of go to my parents and sort of try and play the victim, even though he tends to be the instigator in these situations. And I find it very difficult at times to be the bigger person and to try to forgive him. And I was wondering if you had any advice on, you know, how to take the high ground.
You're just going to have to take that high ground, dude. That's just how it is, man. There's no, that shit's going to hurt no matter what. You know, it's a sacrifice. Taking the high ground isn't necessarily one of those things where it's like, I'm going to feel good about this. I'm going to take the high ground. Taking the high ground also is one of those things where it's like, this, I don't want to take the high ground, but because I don't want to be in this, I don't want this to go any further than it is, I'll take the high ground. It's one of those things where you're going to have to bury your freaking pride. That's at the end of the day. That's
well,
what it
well, well, let me just ask a question first. Yusuf, have you guys ever really just had a heart-to-heart where you weren't screaming at each other? Have you ever just kind of had like a, let's have a really super honest conversation?
Nothing in depth, nothing super in depth. Even on the best circumstances, we, you know, in a pre-COVID era, we only see each other maybe a few times a year anyway. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's usually, you know, around my mom, and it's, you know, she just wants to not rock the boat and keep calm and, you know, be a happy.
Oh, it's like that. It's big like that. I thought it was just like just you two are tipping. It's affecting your whole family.
My advice is that it really can help if you say like, hey, you mean so much to me. I love you. We obviously have some problems, but can we just have a super honest conversation with each other and just have it all out? And that's the trick with you is you got to not blame the other person. The second you start blaming someone, they shut off and they get defensive. We all do that.
I mean,
so you have to come at it from a perspective of, I'm not blaming you for anything. I'm just telling you how I'm feeling and how this is kind of landing with me. And I love you.
Zach,
I want to make
this
better.
It's not that easy. I mean, I recently lost both my parents, and you know, they were kind of the rocks, you know, to us four kids. And when, you know, that rock goes away, it's for brothers and sisters, the closeness that kept you together does part, you know? And then there's times where they do something to you and you say, you know what? I don't need them in my life. You know, they're only being toxic, you know? And it's not taking the high ground sometimes. It's the opposite. It's taking no ground and just letting time does heal things. But I think by mentally always letting it bother you, it's eating you up inside. So instead of taking a high ground or instead of taking a low ground, it's taking time for yourself to heal and be when you're ready to go. And if you're not ready and you try and it goes south again, then you know that just tells you something. And a family is family and you want to never get them out of your life. But sometimes, you know, you can't pick your family, but you can pick your friends. And
I'm just saying, Tara, I'm just saying when you do try, when you do make a big attempt, I think that if you can really control any blaming and just say, look, I'm not blaming any of this on you, but I want you to know that I aspire. I love you. I aspire to have a better connection with you. I want to find a way for us to communicate better. Here's some of the things I'm feeling, and just like be super, super vulnerable. It's going to require you to be super vulnerable.
That's what I'm trying but that's taking the high ground right there. That's him being like, all right, look, I'm going to put myself on the chopping block and I'm going to make myself so vulnerable that my nerves are going to show and you're going to be able to poke my nerves. But I'm doing this because I love you so much and I want us to fix this relationship. Now, when your nerves are poked, the thing, Yusuf, you have to do is not freaking let that affect you. And that's hard to do. Like yeah. I said, that's really, really, really hard to do. I do not envy you, man.
But there's power in being vulnerable.
No doubt. But me and my brothers have had fights that have lasted a year, you know, where my brother and I didn't talk for a year and I can never get that back. You know what I mean? And he can never get that back. And thank God neither one of us perished during that year. You know what I mean? Because then I would feel like shit. And so you got to think of it also as that, you know what I mean? Tomorrow, nothing's promised. Nothing is promised. Tomorrow's not promised. You know what I mean? So in my personal belief, I think you and your brother, like Zach said, do need to sit down, have this conversation. And yeah, taking the high road is the way to go. Because it sounds like you're exactly. Not the instigator. He's the one that's instigating all of this stuff.
Well, but he might have his own story, you know. Yusuf, whatever you believe to be true, he's probably got something. He's obviously got something else going in his head And the idea, the goal is to kind of get on the same page. And my advice is just to make sure when you do have this conversation that you need to have, that you're not accusatory. Accusatory? Accusatory. There's no extra C in there, Zach.
I like accusatory.
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 That'd be a good t-shirt along with deservant.
Deservant, accusatory.
But dude, the first thing is, the most important thing is you got to communicate. If you're just off in your corners pouting and hating each other, nothing's ever going to happen.
So Yousef, you're welcome.
Yousef, Yousef, I think if you follow all that advice and you're going to listen to this back, you're welcome. It's going to work.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I really do appreciate that in all honesty. And I know Fix Your Life is usually the end, but I would be just so remiss, Donald, if I didn't say that I absolutely adore Remember the Titans. And you have my absolute favorite line in the entire film.
Which is?
So it's the scene right when, you know, y'all are on a winning streak, y'all feeling good, and you're going out for a night on the town, and Sunshine wants to take you and Blue into a restaurant. And you tell him, no, this is Virginia, you know, they're not really going to want us here. And he tries anyway. And then you get turned away at the door. And it's this, you know, moment that kind of creates a schism again between the black players and the white players. But you have a line there where you get really upset. And, you know, Blue says, relax, man, he didn't know. And you said, what do you mean he didn't know? I told him he don't want to know. Right. And like that to me is just so emblematic of so much of the inequality and apathy and insensitivity that is still so pervasive to this day of how many people just don't want to know.
That's absolutely right. That's the truth. There are a lot of people out there that don't want to know, and they know they've been told over and over and over again what the deal is. And you're right about that. There's a group, not even a small group. There's a really big population in America. I'll just talk about America. In America, that knows what's going on and knows what the experienced brown people and other minorities are having in this country. And they see it and they act like they don't see it and they play aloof or they play freaking stupid, and that's bullshit. And you're absolutely right. Sunshine knew. I told him, you know, Petey told him, but he didn't want to know. He didn't want to hear that shit. He wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. You're absolutely right about that, man. That is a powerful line, brother.
Yeah. All right,
Yousef.
Brother Yousef, thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And please send Donald the mother load of games.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure,
this.
Man. Thank you so much. Good luck with your brother. Yousef. Good luck.
Good luck with that.
Yousef.
Good luck with that.
Yousef. Call him today. Call him today.
I will. Thank you all so much. Yousef, I really appreciate it.
Yousef, we want a follow-up, so let Joelle know what happens after you talk to your brother.
I will. Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. All right, bye, man. Take care, Yousef.
Later, bro. Yeah.
Bye, Yousef.
All right.
It would suck that Yousef's follow-up is like, so I killed him.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Goodness gracious.
I misunderstood your advice, and I strangled him. Thanks, guys. Let's take a break. We'll be right back after these fine words.
First of all, John C. McGinley's Dr. Phil impression is pretty good.
Yeah, that was funny. I guess it might have been the height of Dr. Phil. Now, Turk is obsessed with cheese. The only word you know is queso. You're like, did somebody say cheese?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, if somebody going out to get some cheese, let a brother know.
And then they cut to you later, and you're eating a fucking solid brick of cheese.
I'm eating some government cheese. Not only did they go to the store, they went to the truck and got the government cheese. If somebody got online, got the government cheese, and handed it to Turk, and now Turk's walking around with government cheese chewing on it like it's freaking, like it's a snack.
It was so gross. Like, who would ever eat cheese like that?
Turk.
I like when you go, K my ass, K my ass.
K my ass.
Because
K my ass, yeah.
How does Carlin not know that her fucking brother's fluent in English? I mean, come on.
They don't hang out much.
He hides it from her.
He does. I guess, I mean, they always speak Spanish to each other.
Is this the first time we hear the phrase in opposite world? Because I say that.
And yo, dude, I've left that. I've taken that word for the rest of my life. I'm going to use that word.
Always say in opposite world.
I've used it since I remember watching the show and you saying that and being like, yo, That is my new shit. An opposite world is going to be my new shit.
We use it with each other. And yeah. this is I don't know where, I mean, obviously some this writer is, put it in, but this is where we first started
this using it. This is where it. We first started using it, yep. Nana Hobbs is a bit racist. What?
Yeah, that was funny. Tara, I like when I go, I'm going to miss you. And no, no, sorry, you go, I'm going to miss you. And I go, yeah. I'm going to miss you too. And you go, dude, we just met. I'm kidding. That was funny. Danny's a bit weird. Danny's still weird. I mean, part of Danny's shtick is that she always starts conversations in the middle of a conversation.
In the middle of a conversation, yeah.
But also, I like when Danny says, you know, she's talking and we're in the elevator. And she's like, you know, this, it could, you know, fall right now. The stream, and you're like looking at her like, what? She's like, oh, sorry. I mean, I just have an inner monologue in my head. And you're like, oh, weirdo. But yet, that's your character.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It must have come from somebody in the writer's room being knowing someone that just always started conversations right in the middle of a conversation. And I think it's a funny thing for Danny. She's always like three sentences into a conversation. And JD's like, what?
Yeah. Have you ever said to somebody, you know what I was thinking about? And they actually answered what you were thinking about, but they don't answer it correctly?
Yeah. Wait, it's kind
of
like a game.
It's one of the funniest things ever. Like, so usually when you say to somebody, you know what I was thinking about, you're saying it so they'll be like, what were you thinking about? And then you can go into what you were thinking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched my wife one time go up to this young lady and she goes, oh my God, do you know what I was just thinking about? And the girl goes, Rihanna dancing on the stage in last year's. And Casey's like, what? No. I was and I just thought that was a funny
thing. That's funny though. We should all have one of those locked and loaded for when someone says that to us.
For when someone, you know what I was thinking about? Right. And you just go into some
Rihanna
right.
When she got thick.
Right. Yeah. Anyway.
How about the fact that we learned that Kelso's genitals were shaved when he passed out at the Christmas party?
Yeah, and that Cox is the one that shaved them.
Yeah. Kelso got so hammered and passed out at the Christmas party, and Cox shaved his genitals.
More than once, too.
That's something I didn't remember from Scrubs.
Yeah, more than once, too. This is like a recurring tradition that happens.
So funny. And then I laughed, too, when Sarah says she has to perform a thong extraction on herself.
Right. Even after that.
How fucking funny is that punch in the face to you, dude? When Marco hits you in the face, I laughed out loud.
I laughed at that too.
When you go, I told you, bam! That is the hardest hit.
Yeah.
By the way, Scrubs Wiki says that you have the black eye on the wrong eye.
I do?
Yeah, that's what Scrubs Wiki says.
We had a couple of racist jokes in this.
Is it racist to say
that Nana Hobbs is a racist and that
no,
she,
that's not right. He's saying
she thought
racist.
That she thought that I was robbing the house.
Well, she's racist.
The joke is not racist. She was racist.
Right, she's racist. By the way, it's not racist to, or correct me if I'm wrong. You guys will tell me when I say, so black people can get black eyes too. Who knew?
Well, I mean, come on, man. You've seen all types of boxing matches and a lot of boxers are black. If you're trying to tell me, if this is where the bullshit comes in. Hold on. Muhammad Ali, I seen him get fucked up. I seen Leon Spinks get fucked up. I seen a bunch of black people get fucked up fighting back in the day before Scrubs. Out of nowhere, JD is like, wait a second. Black people get black eyes?
I mean, I thought it was funny, but if you're telling me it's fucked up, I believe you.
I don't think it's fucked up. I just think that JD is trying to be a bit of, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, he's a doctor. I'm sure he's seen a black person with a black eye. He's trying to be funny with his black best friend.
Exactly. But it doesn't work if JD is, you know, genuinely asking that question. Then it becomes a racist joke.
Right. I think that as a doctor, he's probably seen a black person with a black eye. But exactly. Just so you know, the trivia that Scrubs Wiki said that your black eye's on the wrong eye.
Well, you know, we can't all be perfect.
Yeah. They can't all be perfect, makeup department. There's a bunch of continuity errors in this one.
Who directed this episode?
This was Gail Mancuso.
Gail Mancuso.
Who I think has since won an Emmy for Modern Family, I believe.
Double checking.
I believe. Joelle will double check. Gail Mancuso was one of our great directors, and she went on after Scrubs to become one of the top TV directors in Hollywood. A lot of Modern Families. I remember that. You guys, I had forgotten the reveal that Danny is Jordan's sister.
Me too.
Wait,
oh, yeah,
what?
At the end, that's the best.
What?
When you're like, I finally found a girl with no issues, you know? And you're like, bam, they walk out. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no, my nemesis. Yeah.
This is the beginning of a lot of craziness. Like, at some point, don't you have a toilet paper throne, Tara? In this, on Scrubs, at some point later on, as we go on, like, doesn't it get like just ridiculous?
I remember there's a fantasy coming up. Tara mentioned to me when we were texting back and forth about when she's dressed as a cigarette. Do you remember
that? I was just gonna say that. I remember, I was so embarrassed, like, Tara, you're gonna dress as a cigarette right now. I'm like, and I remember wearing the outfit going, like, oh my God.
I love that we had like, only Bill Lawrence would bring on this beautiful woman that everyone's like lusting after and be like, hey, we're gonna dress you up as a cigarette.
And then when she's in the bed with you, just smoking. That's God, what,
Tara,
yeah.
I just remembered this story. Do you remember this? I had to do a naked dance in front of you. And when you're on set as a guy and you're supposed to be naked, there's only a certain amount of stuff you can do. So I put my junk in a sock and I tucked it all in as best as I could. And then I had to do the dance. And I'm dancing around. The sock held on as long as it could, but eventually it just gave up. And I was like, sorry, Tara. Sorry.
No, that was hilarious. We had so many.
I was like,
so,
I remember
scenes.
Being like, sorry, Tara, but just, it's like Seinfeld, just so you know, it's very cold in here, Tara. Air conditioning. Joelle just told me that. What? Hold on, let me read Joelle's note.
Go ahead.
Gael Mancuso did win the Emmy for directing the episode Arrested on Modern Family. And then in 2014, she won the Emmy again for directing the episode Las Vegas. So she's got two Emmys for directing Modern Family. Guys, I think we did it. Tara, you're going to have to come back on because you're such a great guest and you've been in so many other episodes. Will you join us? I hope this wasn't too painful for you.
No, it was so much fun. I had the best time. I'd love to come back on.
All right, good. It's fun because once a week we just all get together and shoot the shit and we have these amazing listeners that join us and we all just sit around and giggle about nonsense.
It's a great show.
Yeah, we're really happy that you came on, man. You have so many other stories that we would love.
Yes, we want to hear more stories. We definitely at least want to have you back for either the episode where I accidentally showed you my junk in a very cold room, Tara, or when you're dressed as a cigarette. But but thank you. You're a great guest. And thank you, everybody, for listening. What do we want to say, Donald? Check out the merch. We have great merch now.
We've got great merch now. You guys ask for it and we delivered. We've got more Christmas ornaments coming your way.
We sold out of the ornaments. Joelle, we didn't order enough ornaments.
I want some free merch, guys. Yeah. I want Joelle, some free merch.
Joelle, please send Tara all the merch.
Okay.
Send her a mug.
We need
I want a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We got it. We'll got a sweatshirt. We got that for you.
I'll take the mug.
You go to cottonbureau.com and search for Fake Doctors Real Friends. There's all sorts of fun stuff on there. And thank you, Joelle. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Tara Reid. We'll be back next week with more fun and laughter. Stay safe. We love you. Make sure you vote for the love of Yahweh, for the love of God, for whatever deity you believe in.
If you believe in Jehovah, vote.
Whomever your favorite God is, please vote in their honor. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of doctors and nurses and a